Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the show, folks. It is the special time of the year that I love diving into because there's so much to prep for, but also consider from a game theory standpoint, and that's March Madness, because everyone always has bracket questions as to who's going to win, which teams I should look out for, and most importantly, how do I come up with the best idea for a bracket? And again, it's not easy, but I love plugging away at this because, you know, the spirit of competition always brings out even the most casual sports fan to take a look at their bracket to see if their alma mater has what it takes to make a deep run in March. So without much further ado, let's start talking about the do's and don'ts that I always bring up year after year that I constantly see folks get wrong. So, first of all, the biggest taboo is know your format. Realistically, folks do not pay attention to the format of the structure. Is it traditional scoring? Is it one point per first round win, two for the round of 32, four for the Sweet 16, eight for the Elite Eight, 16 for each win in the semifinals, and 32 for the championship? Or do you get some combination of upset value? Do you get the seed plus the points per round? Do you get a multiplier per round? Like, these are all real things. Or is it the seed minus the seed of the other team if it's an upset? Like, these are all very real scoring formats that most of you do not pay attention to. And it makes the world a difference. I constantly harp on this to please look at the format of the tournament you are in. You have to, because realistically, and from an overall balance standpoint of how your bracket should look, there has to be some contemplation of how the scoring format's going to work. Because if it's traditional, it's going to be more heavily weighted towards getting your Elite Eight picks correct, and the final four picks as accurate as you can. If you have a scoring sequence that's closer to a Fibonacci sequence, where it's 1-1-3-5, yeah, and your overall champion is only worth 13 points, that's an entirely different format you should be concentrating on. Because realistically, in that format, the first round matchups are tantamount. That you've got to drill down and be more accurate and try to nail every upset without going overboard on picking upsets. Because, again, the weighting favors in aggregation getting as many picks correct as possible. I cannot stress this enough, folks. If you're not looking at the scoring format of your bracket pool, you're doing it entirely wrong. Even no matter how you finish. Because if you're not tailoring it to your individual bracket that you're in, it's just a mistake. You've got to be able to understand how many points you're realistically going to need. And some of you are going to say, Dwayne, how am I honestly going to know what my overall point tally is going to need to look like? Well, from a general standpoint, with essentially 63 games that you're going to fill out in your typical bracket, there's an average of 8 upsets total. I'm going to say this again. 63 games. On average, over the course of 30 years of data that they've been tracking this, most tournaments only average 8 upsets. So with as much talk about Cinderella stories, more often than not, you're only going to see maybe 1 or 2 teams sneak through and have a deep run in the tournament. Now, I'm going to get into why I think it's going to be slightly higher than expected because of just outright misseeding. But that's the true nature of the tournament, is that you're going to see quite a bit of chalk, and you don't want to kneecap your bracket by calling for too many first-round upsets, because some of these clubs, while they may have a close call, and from a betting perspective, there is some value betting on some of these underdogs. From a bracket perspective and the outright win, you're better off adhering to some of the more likely scenarios when picking teams. We'll go into each region, but I just want folks to bear in mind that sometimes with your outright performances, if you're struggling year after year with some of your brackets, you may actually be too aggressive in some of your upset selections versus concentrating on 1 or 2 particular teams to make a deeper run, rather than picking all the upsets in the exact same bracket. So if you have some differentiators that you want to go for, you can have some clubs that you can solidly back with run to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, but I wouldn't necessarily double down and have 2 teams making deep tournament runs that are double-digit seeds in that regard, because you may end up handicapping your own overall performance by just being a little bit too aggressive. 1 of them may happen, 2 of them may happen, 3 of them, that's probably you're going overboard. So, just things to bear in mind. Now, other factors to kind of look at. Realistically, the fact that the 15 and 16 seeds have actually gotten wins in the last 2 tournaments does not change the historical performance of how often these teams fail to win games. Now, in the 80, and I would say this in terms of the data, you're still looking at less than a 4% chance of success in terms of games with featuring a 15 or 16 seed pulling off an upset. Yes. Has it happened? Yes, it's happened more times in recent memory due to a number of factors, whether it's the transfer portal, teams just not sticking around longer in terms of guys going to the NBA, rosters overchanging. Yeah, there's a number of factors I could go into explaining why 15 and 16 seeds have been able to pull off some of these upsets. What it doesn't change is the fact that even with those instances picking up in recent years, you still have 13 times combined between a 15 seed and a 16 seed actually pulling off the upsets. It's just not likely to happen. Even if you go by the first round upsets in the last 10 years, it's still less than a 20% chance of happening. So yes, in recent memory, yes, we've seen these upsets go down with the 1 and 2 seeds. It's just still, for the sake of your bracket, not necessarily worth the while in most scoring formats. It's just, there's just not enough points there for what you're going to handicap yourself on moving forward. You're better off looking at an 8-9 sequence being the squad that you want to focus on in that second round action for the upset to advance further versus try to pick over 15 or 16 seed. That's the most likely set of issues that you're going to come across. Now, I already talked about how realistically you're looking at 8 upsets per tournament. Now, the aspect that, you know, when I'm talking about upsets, I'm not talking about 8-9 matchups. Those are typically the most even matchups in the tournament. So we're talking about the 10 seeds and below. Now, in terms of the first round, and I'm just trying to be as direct as I can for folks so they can understand, because I think this is so important to get right. In terms of your first round, the most upsets we've had is 8 in the first round. So think about this again. 32 games. Obviously, the most action is going to be in the first 2 days between Thursday and Friday. The most upsets we've ever had with double-digit seeds is 8. And that happened in 2016. The first round averages roughly 4.7 upsets. So, just bear in mind, when I said talk about deep tournament runs, if you want to pick your alma mater or double-digit seeds, the average is 4 upsets. 4. So, across the entire picks, you should not be averaging that much higher than the 4. You can 5, maybe 6, but realistically, most folks that are picking all these upsets in the first round, they overdo it and kneecap their potential. Now, in the second round, you've got at least an average of 3 upsets out of the 16 games. The most we've had, most recently, even in 2018, were 6 upsets. Where things get kind of... But by and large, you've also had seasons where the higher seed always went through, and that's happened at least 4 times. What I always try to stress to folks, again, if you're picking upsets, be deliberate in terms of individual teams you're backing. So there are going to be some double-digit seeded teams that I think are quite viable to pick in bracket formats. The key is not picking too many of these teams to make the run in. I would rather you differentiate your brackets with upset bracket one, upset bracket two, versus trying to pick them all at once, because chances are you're probably going to fail getting there. And then from that standpoint, once you get into the Sweet 16, by and large, the upsets stop happening. The upsets are less than one per year. And I'm going to say this again. Most of the time with double-digit seeded teams, they don't get past the Sweet 16. It's a one-week story, and then they get knocked out in the Sweet 16 and Elite 8. The double-digit seeds, realistically, are not in the mix come the Sweet 16 Elite 8. And I know we've had the deep run with San Diego State last year. Yes, this can happen. But more often than not, you're not getting there. And statistically, it's better not to kneecap your bracket too far in advance of the overall tournament outlook. I just cannot stress this enough. So I know ran through number crunching, but I think it's important just so from an overall feel standpoint, folks have the proper mindset of how they're going to target these regions and kind of go about best practices. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to go through some of my picks to look at for the first round matchups. And we will then begin each episode subsequent breaking down the regions as a whole. So stick around. I'm going to go through my picks for the first round. And we'll be right back. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, we are back. So with that being said, let's talk about some picks for the first round. And I think the obvious question that has to be raised is the fact that the injury news with Kansas, Kevin McCullough, is going to be shut down for the entire NCAA tournament. Bill Self said that to the media. There was talk that maybe he might have missed this opening round game against Samson. In fact, he's just missing the entire tournament. This is big news because Kansas has relied on McCullough the entire season. I don't want to make light of just how big of a deal this is, because Kansas is a 4 seed. They weren't exactly world beaters when completely healthy either. They weren't an elite defensive team. They take a ton of 2-point shots. They're not a great 3-point shooting team. So they relied quite a bit on just being incredibly efficient inside the arc. Without McCullough, and, you know, basically he was all Big 12 for the year. He was the Big 12's leading scorer at 18 points per game. So this is this is about as bad as it gets in terms of how this plays out. But let's just be perfectly frank. Samson at plus 8.5, that line's going to move down. So to me, this is one of those times where you just have to take, and I'm saying, I was thinking of Kevin Samson, but Samford, literally at plus 8.5 is where you want to press it, because Kansas is not an elite defensive team. Samford is one of the most up-tempo squads in the tournament itself. This is not an easy matchup for Kansas by any means. And plus 8.5 is too large of a line. This line, I would be shocked that this doesn't get down to 6 given the injury news. But Kansas legitimately could get knocked out in the first round. So not only am I going to say from a standpoint of Kansas in trouble, Samford plus 300 is quite live. Now, do I expect Kansas to still find a way to win this game? Yes. The issue is we've seen Kansas struggle mightily down the stretch without McCullough for the last month. It's not going to get any easier in the tournament. And with the team knowing that he's not coming back, it's going to be even harder. So from a tempo standpoint, you're looking at Samford, who's at top 15 in the country in terms of tempo, versus a Kansas squad that realistically does not defend that well in terms of shot selection. This is going to be probably one of the tougher matchups in the first round for teams that are considered high favorites versus what the reality situation is. Kansas is still going to get quite a bit of support, especially depending on where your bracket's being played. If you've got a lot of Midwest folks in your bracket pool, or your pool's based in the Midwest, Kansas is still going to have folks taking them going all the way to the Final Four. There's just no doubt about it. It's Kansas. But in terms of actual upsets, yeah, this is one that we actually have to monitor quite closely, because there's a very real chance Kansas can get bounced. And, you know, as a 13 seed, Samford is live. I will say this. Samford is quite live to pull off the upset. And I would be shocked if this line doesn't move closer to 6 points overall in favor of Kansas from where it has been in that 8.5-9 point range. Samford definitely has a shot here. Now, other games in the first round, I'm looking to target Mississippi State versus Michigan State. I'm going to take Mississippi State plus 1.5. I think a lot of this is still tied to it's Tom Izzo. No one really wants to pick against Izzo and the Spartans. So by name brand recognition alone, they will back Michigan State. But looking through the numbers, Mississippi State is overall the better team. Michigan State should not have been an at-large bid period in this tournament. You know, even though I'm not the biggest fan of the SEC as a whole, in terms of the metrics, you've got Michigan State, one of the worst tempo teams in the league. Mississippi State, not substantially better. But from an overall standpoint, this is one of the closer matchups you're going to see from a tournament standpoint. And, you know, the numbers help Michigan State because of some of the performances they've had against high caliber teams. But the problem overall with Michigan State, again, they played down to their competition so many times this year, it's truly hard to actually feel good about taking Michigan State outright. It's almost to the extent where you're better off just pushing against Michigan State, because realistically, they've had so many bad-looking games, especially from their shooting. They don't shoot well. If they get cold, they're in trouble, and they don't take care of the ball, which is not a typical Tom Izzo team. Usually, they play defense and don't turn the ball over. They play defense, but they do turn the ball over quite a bit. Like, this is not an actual consistent team. So, again, Michigan State's getting into the tournament was by Izzo's name brand, but realistically, unless you're getting, and I think you're going to need A.J. Hogar to put up 20 points for Michigan State to hang it around in this one. I honestly don't think there's enough points in this Michigan State team to beat Mississippi State. I would rather just back Mississippi State to find a way out of there, because realistically, Michigan State doesn't have the size necessarily to match up with Tolu Smith either in the paint. I just don't buy it. Michigan State will play tough. There's no doubt about it. It's just that I don't think they have the sustain the ability to sustain a longer game. And again, that's where folks look at the Michigan State and Izzo by reputation versus what the team has been this year. That's why I look at Mississippi State as the favorite pick. I'm sure some folks will back Sparty no matter what, just given the line. But to me, Michigan State hasn't shown the consistency to warrant that level of confidence this year. All right. Other games that I will list off, some double-digit underdogs, but from a point spread standpoint, actually makes worthwhile, because I don't think the blowout is as significant as it's necessarily playing out as. So, Long Beach State, realistically, I would still have, and again, this is not a case of we're picking the underdog to win. We're just going by the spread itself. Arizona typically struggles against teams that play zone defense. Long Beach State will play some zone. I actually look at this as a case where Arizona probably starts out a little bit slower than people expect. I'm okay with taking Long Beach State at plus 21, because, you know, I expect Arizona to still cruise. I just don't think it's going to be one of those games where they win by 30. I do think there's still going to be some measure tied to it. Next up, we're going to head over to Oakland. So, essentially, what we have is Oakland at plus 14. And again, similar situation. Kentucky, not exactly strong against zone defense, to say the least. Coach Cal has even talked about tweaking the roster a bit to play some more of his bigs, but I think part of the issue with Kentucky is similar to what Arizona's going to go through. Teams are going to match up with them with zone defense, and Oakland plays a ton of zone. So while I don't expect them to win, I do think it's going to be closer than people expect, and then Kentucky pulls away. So I'm okay with taking Oakland plus 14, because similar to Long Beach State, I do think these games extend out long enough where it's going to be trickier for the favorites to cover. Now, shifting over to the Friday matchups, I'm still big on Marquette. I know Kolek is still a big question mark in terms of his health, but when I look at this side of the bracket, I'm not intimidated by Florida. The only squad that I think could probably give Marquette fits would be Colorado State. And they still have to beat Boise State to in the play-in stage to actually get into the tournament. I'm okay with Marquette covering the 14 against Western Kentucky. I think that's a pretty favorable matchup for them. And then I'll also go towards Auburn. I just look at this as some of these opening round matchups. They should be in a pretty solid spot overall against Yale. You know, Yale, everyone knows that they had that buzzer beater win to win the Ivy League tournament. But in terms of actual matchups, I think it's going to be a tough spot for Yale to keep this one close. So I'll take Auburn minus the 12.5. And then finally, I'm going to take Wisconsin minus 5 against James Madison. I know folks love the upset trendy pick with James Madison. To me, this doesn't feel like the spot. I'm not on board with that 5-12 matchup. I'd even go so far as to say that's probably the worst 5-12 matchup of the tournament. I would say you should be focusing on Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. We'll talk about those individual brackets. And I think Gonzaga is in more danger than what you see here with Wisconsin. I think the Wisconsin matchup is probably the safest of the 5-12 matchups. Obviously, you have San Diego State against UAB. That's an interesting matchup because of how many threes UAB shoots, and San Diego State not necessarily being an offensive juggernaut and just having to rely on their defense. But in terms of the 5-12s, I think Wisconsin had the most favorable of them all. So I'm backing them for a first-round matchup there, and I'll take the 5 for them to cover. So that's going to do it for the initial thoughts on do's and don'ts for the tournament. We're going to do bracket breakdowns for each region, so stick around for those episodes, folks. And until next time, have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.